13, book of Hebrews, and I'm going to deal with three verses a little bit, and it's a strange verse, and it's if you get anything out of the writers of the Bible, you'll notice that Peter always wrote about the kingdom of God, and James, he was a martyr, and John wrote about the gospel of God, but Paul writes about the family of God, and or the church, and that's how Paul, through most of his writings, represented the church, and his writings was about how important the church was. And God's really been dealing with me about that, of the view that Christians have today, and it's been it perpetrated on Christians specifically with intent to demeanor the value of the New Testament church. And of course, the Bible says that's what Christ died for. He died for the church. And everything that God gave to Christ, Christ gave to the church. He didn't give it to individuals. I mean, he did, but because the individuals make up the church. But he gives all that power and authority and everything else to the church. And today, it's just absolutely appalling of the way, and maybe a lot of fault, no, and I'm not saying maybe, a lot of the fault falls upon the church for not teaching what it should be and how it should be, again, because people don't want to hear it. People want to do what they want to do, and this day and age, people are going to do what they want to do. It doesn't matter. I mean, they're going to do what they want to do. So while we're dealing here, remember what we started out the chapter was about in verse 13, chapter 13 of Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. If you look at verse 5, it's let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will not never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's about how we deal with others, our actions toward each other and toward those that are without the church, but mostly with how we deal with each other in the church. Now, what we've seen in the past year, let's say in our state, of how Christians, when they don't get their way, or they think they've been wronged, how they respond, and I've heard it several times in the last month of I just can't believe that they would treat me that way. People that I've known, Christians that I've known most of my life, because something happens, how they treat me. Or in another case, it was, now I really see what the old, when they talk about deacons, how much, and elders of the church, of how much anger and hatred and bitterness can go on during a church meeting. During a church meeting. I mean, not a service, but you know, when they, and so I've just heard this and heard this and heard this of, and so this chapter is dealing with this of, and we're going to find out, and that's what Paul mainly dealt with in all his teaching, was the family or the church of God, and how we're to treat each other. And this is again, so, but we're going to hit on three verses, And so remember the context of it. It's dealing of how we deal with each other. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started, okay? Father, again, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace and just being so good to us. We pray for the ones that are out today that would be here, can't get here because of the weather, and you know that. So we pray that you'd bless them. And Lord, we pray for William down to Veterans Home, that you continue to bless him there. We thank you for these ministries. And Lord, we do thank you for our winter weather. We appreciate it. Because we know that spring's coming, and that's a blessing. And so, Lord, again, we just ask you to join with us today, and we have your book open, your word. And Lord, help us today to understand, just give us something a little more, because if we get anything, it'll be from you and your spirit, about each other and how we're to treat each other, and what the church is to be before the world. So Lord, we cannot do that without you. You're the teacher. You teach us and help us to learn. And so we ask that you would just be busy about your job, and we'll just give you the glory and honor for it. In thy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're going to deal with three verses, and this is dealing with in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followeth, considering the end of their conversation. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And then verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints that are they of Italy salute you. So now notice it's remember them that have the rule over you, verse 7. Obey them that have the rule over you. And in verse 22, salute all them that have the rule over you. The word salute comes from salutations, okay? It's an honor, showing respect, greetings. So this is implying that every Christian should be on speaking terms with their pastor and with the elders and the leaders of the church. Verse 24 there, it says, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints that are in Italy salute you. So sometimes every man that God has called to the office of a pastor, and if he's trying to fulfill that calling, are men of the church that are leaders of the church, should show God enough respect to call the man and to show respect to him, okay? We don't have that trouble here. So this is a message that we need to preach, because there's been so much of it going on, but we do not, as I know of, have the problem in this church. And there's a lot of churches have that problem. And so don't think this is to you. This is a warning, okay? And for people that come in and still, we need to understand authority today is looked at very dimly, because in so many cases, authority doesn't warrant somebody giving them honor. And we see that in a lot of cases. So honor should be earned, but God says you're to give it to them. But for people to continue to honor people, they have to earn that. And we've got churches to where what preachers have done, so much bitter and anger, and people are just fighting to try to say, God, I forgive them for doing this to me. That goes on all the time with pastors. Pastors just, they lord over people. They think that they're narcissists. They've got to have their way, or it's a highway. So we've seen all this stuff going on in the church, and it's just simply not to be that way. And we know that, but this is a reminder. So God's always, I don't care where you're at, there's going to be leaders, okay? And that's the way God sets it up. Some people are just not leaders. They don't want to be. And that's cool, because you can't have everybody leading. You got to have people that say, you know what, that's okay. I'll just, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. Or you point me and I'll get it done, and that's a blessing. And so, but God always has leaders, and that's the way it's set up. Now, we're talking about the elders, and we don't per se have elders and all this stuff in the church, but just the leaders that that God brings up in any situation, how important they are. And again, so many times in today's ministries, and not only ministries, you'll see businesses. Now, we're working, William and I was talking about, we're building for a guy that I mean, he doesn't micromanage everything. He manages everything. And he will drive you crazy. I mean, nobody can do it good enough for him. And but if you let him talk about how good he is and everything, pretty soon he just shows you everything about him. And so you got this in business. Jim was in bed with the phone company. I bet you run into 100 people like that over your years. And so we just run into people like that, that think they know everything. They've got to have it their way. Well, you've got that in churches too. And that's not leadership. That's lording and authority, somewhere down the road, it may take many years, but in a church, God finally takes care of it. God is long-suffering with bonehead people, especially preachers. I don't know why, but he is. He's long-suffering. So anyway, over in James 5:14, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So it shows the authority that men are to be willing to accept in the church, that God is going to bring men up, and he wants to bring men up, that it's not all done by the pastor, okay? The pastor is just one position. Now, true, he's called, and he's there by God, and that office are to be honored and given respect, just like the president. What gets me funny is people will call a doctor, but they won't call their pastor pastor. And so what they're doing, they're actually going against what God commanded. Again, we don't have that problem. Very few guys, they'll come in and they'll do it for a little bit, and then they'll catch everything, and then it'll just kind of level out, and they won't do it anymore. And so, so each member should let others know how you're feeling. So the Bible talks about when you have a problem, now there is private things that you don't want people to know, and I understand that. But we need, well, fun thing that brings up another, we need to renew our prayer list, okay? So if I get one of the ladies to start on that, we need to get a new prayer list, make sure we got it going. When there's a problem in your family, your job, and not a, something that you want, you need to let somebody know, because we're to pray for you. Where's your help going to come from if it doesn't come from your family in the church? Who's going to pray for you? Your buddies at work? Not more likely, no. Not unless you're working in a Christian organization. So the simple fact of it is, each member should let others know when there's a problem that need prayer, and get it on prayer list to where we can pray. Because one thing, you're cheating yourself out of blessings, and you're cheating your brothers and sisters in Christ out of blessings to get to pray for you. And normally I get a call. I'm going to talk to Robert. I'm going to chew him out. I'm going to tell you what he said. I don't deserve it, but my church family is all I got to pray for Cheryl. I thought, you bonehead. I get a hold of him, I'm going to put knots on his head. That should be the first people he calls. So he hadn't been to church a month. Does that mean we don't love him? We just understand he's a knothead like the rest of us. And so, he needed his wife prayed for. And we need to pray for. And it doesn't take a long prayer. Whatever you're doing, you can stop 30 seconds and lift it up to the Lord. And so it's common sense stuff that we don't get a lot of. And so verse 7, it says, remember them. How? In prayer, in respect. I know if God uses me, it's because I'm living on the prayers of other Christians. I mean that, okay? He said, verse 7 there, he says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you in the word of God, whose faith followeth, considering the end of their conversation. Considering means to view attentively, to observe and examine. The shepherd is to be worthy for the sheep to follow. And that's just, we're to be an example. And the leaders of the church are to be an example. And this is where, well, that means I got to live right all the time. Yeah, I mean, as much as possible. And when you can't, ask for forgiveness. But that's what authority is, trying to live an example for people to follow, and especially in the church. And so God does expect his men in the church to live honorable and live as close to him as possible and to obey him, and because they are an example, okay? So it says, considering the end. Considering also means to attend to respect. Psalms 41:1, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. It is the church's job to see to it that your pastor now is taken care of, and you guys do that. But someday I'm not going to be around. I'm getting old and cranky, and God's going to say, man, I'm done with you. Get out. And will somebody else? But you need to understand how to take care of a pastor. And I've talked to the men, the deacons, about this and everything. You get a young preacher in with a family, they've got to be taken care of. And then you get another deal to where some preacher is making $75,000 to $80,000 a year, and then he steals $250,000 off the church. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do about that? You got to remember. Well, we'll get into that maybe here in just a minute. But so we've got all different sides of things that I'm telling you about that's going on. I mean, and I'm not talking in New York now. I'm talking in Montana. Okay? And so this is what's going on in the church today. And so, again, it's the church's job to see that it's taken care of. I'll give you an example. Now, Brother Bard took that church back in Massachusetts there. And it's an old church. It's got a lot of older people in it, and they want some new ones coming in. Now, I can just picture this in my mind. There's guys that's been in there for 25, 30 years. They're like ornaments, and bless God for them people, because that's where your tithing comes from most of the time. But anyway, they get the idea that this church is theirs. We old people have a mind like that. We forget that it really belongs to the Lord. Well, yes, I attend there, and I pack, but it's not mine. Well, and Tom still has commitments in preaching. And so they said, well, that's fine, you can keep them, but we're not going to pay you for while you're gone. And Tom says, now, wait a minute. It's not about the money, but you hired me to be your pastor. I'm still your pastor whether I'm here or gone. I mean, you see how people think? They weren't trying to be mean, but that's just the way people are. Just an instant, and he says, no, you hired me to be your pastor. If I'm gone 3 days, that doesn't mean I quit being your pastor. I'm your pastor. And so anyway, so you get all these little funny things going on in the church, okay, and how men think and women think, and so you got both sides of the whole issue. Well, in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And the pastor is to show the proper respect to the people and not lording over them and demanding something that he shouldn't, okay? So in verse 7, it says, have the rule. A ruler is the leader or the chief, the way that the New Testament church is to be set up. It's a autonomy, theocracy, okay? Autonomy means by itself. And theocracy means government of a state by the direction of God, which means God's ruling the assembly through the local pastor and down through the leaders of the church, which would be deacons and elders, okay? And it's not an elder rule church. God did not set an elder rule church up. He just does, and that's not the way. And we got churches in the valley. Well, your preacher is just a puppet up there. He does everything that the elders tell him to do. You got that? No, that ain't the way God set it up. The deacons are to do whatever the pastor wants them to do, and the elders, they basically do the same thing. And that's what it is. It's not an elder, and you got, oh, Jason, am I right? You got the elders will tell the preacher when to jump, how high to jump, and everything. No, it's not to be that way. God is the leader. It's like you going on to a job, and you got the owner, and then you got a foreman, and then you got the owner would be a type of God the Father. The foreman would be type of pastor. And then you have your congregation, which be the people. Now the thing. Okay, so let's say that the foreman, he starts getting this big idea about things that he's the chief cook and bottle washer, and so he starts changing all the rules and regulations that the owner set up, and he is the hierarchy, and he demands that. Now, whose problem is it? Is it the people working for him or the congregation? No, it's God's problem. Now, people need to understand this. When there's a problem going on in the church with a pastor, it's God's problem. If God called him and put him there, now don't get me, we got a balance here, because God will use... when a pastor's messing up, and he's only and here's the thing, God is very lenient with people, and we've just saw a case that a pastor for 35 years has been a bonehead, but God finally got enough of it, and he took care of the problem, and the church is doing fine because the men didn't try to come in and ramrod the preacher out and take control of everything. They left it to God, and they were misused and abused for 30 years. But now, God come in, and he does the right job. I mean, there's nobody can do a job on somebody like God can. And so you got to understand that, and so then we've got another situation to where a pastor was not doing, and the other one I knew about, but the other one, this is strictly hearsay, I don't know if he was doing right or wrong, don't know, it's none of my business, but the deacons and elders took it on themselves to take care of every situation, and now you know what you got two messed up churches. And so this is why I want you guys, you folks, to understand this. That it's God's problem. Now, remember the foreman's all messing up and doing things and being a bonehead and demanding this and demanding that far above what the owner now. But so now the employees or the congregation, they can sure go to God about it and say, look, you know, God, he is messing up big time. Are you going to do anything about this? You know what's going on. But the ultimate responsibility is God's, because it's his church. Now, again, God will come to a point that he's had enough. And then he will use individuals. But them individuals better understand and better make sure that it's God moving them and not some other spirit. And then they have to do what they have to do because they've been moved of God. And we've seen both examples, one done right and the other one, as far as I can tell, messed up about as much as you can mess it up. So we've got these examples, and folks, you want to do it right, because if it's done wrong, there's people all over the country and all over the place that's going to be hurt very severely. And you know people that's been hurt in churches by a pastor, by people that done, and it's done wrong. God lays out this stuff how to do it, and it needs to be followed. And so let God take care of the thing until they know without a shadow of a doubt that God is just fed up with it and he's chosen some men to do something about it. And so that's something we need to be aware of, and as a church you need to understand of how to take care of that. Now, let me give you a biblical example. You remember King Saul? Now, King Saul was just a knothead. He was just a bad king. He let the devil get in him. And yet David had already been anointed king. Right? But he would not touch the king. Now, I got a little book, well, I'm out of them right now. It's called The Tale of Three Kings. And I really think every Christian ought to read that book. Because it's how David responded to this situation. And David simply said, David, remember, Saul would chase him around trying to kill him. Even in the cave of Megiddo, I think it was, when David was in there with all of his men and King Saul went in there and they wanted to kill him, and David said, no, you don't touch the Lord anointed. And remember when Saul and Abner was sleeping and the whole camp, and David took one of his guys in there, and boy, he wanted to kill him. He said, I'll take care of Saul. Right? No, you don't touch God's anointed. At the right time, God will take care of him. And so David, what he became, and you remember when he did go in to have supper with the family, Saul would get mad and throw spears at David. Now think about that. You're trying to enjoy a steak and somebody's throwing spears at you. So David says, you know what? I can become, there's two things I can do. I can become a spear thrower and throw them back, or I can become a spear ducker. Just dodge them. It's up to you. How you're either gonna pick it up and throw it back. Well, I'll fix you. And that's the way a lot of us do. Or we can just dodge them and get up and move and let God deal with the situation. That's the way it should be done. So again, look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Right after 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is just a message, a warning that we need to have reiterated into us of how to respond about things, because Satan is always trying to destroy the New Testament church. He'll use anybody, anything, it doesn't matter to him, as long as he can get confusion and things done wrong in the church, he's won. And unless we are aware of it, we'll just let it happen. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look at verse 17, he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they whom labor in the word and doctrine. So this elder is the pastor. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of its reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And so, you are not even to listen to somebody that's talking about a pastor. I've had to tell umpteen dozen pastors in the last few months, if we're going to talk about this, we're not going to talk about this. The conversation will change, or we're not going to have a conversation. Yeah, but I don't want to hear it. And they've got upset with me. I'm not going to talk about another pastor. There's just no need in it. And you should not talk about another pastor. And matter of fact, you're really not to gossip about me either. And you know what? Hey, vice versa. Do you know what I get when I hear go to a lot of preachers' meeting? The preachers bad-mouthing their people. I hear that all the time. I'm not supposed to be bad-mouthing you. But the Bible says that if I know any, that I'm to rebuke them. And I would say that if another pastor heard me talking about it, they are to rebuke me for it. Or if you hear me, you are to rebuke me for it. It's still talking about pastors. Why? They're an authority. Are the elders of the church? It's not supposed to be done. Okay? And so verse 20 says, them that have sinned, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So there's the commandment. That's what's supposed to be done. That people, Christians, are not to be talking against each other. You do that out in the public, and they know you shouldn't be doing that. Now, I don't know of anybody doing that, okay, in this church. I mean it. And so, but just to let you know, it's the church is its responsibility to not let that gossiping go on. And this is the rule that the pastor has with the congregation and vice versa. Now, a pastor is to be a leader by example. We said, look at 1 Thessalonians. And folks, you know what? I'm going to mess up. That's just me. I'm still a human being. And just like you mess up. And we're supposed to forgive each other and love each other and not badmouth each other, okay? So, but a pastor and the leaders of the church, it's our responsibility to live as gracefully and kindly and as obedient to God as we can, okay? And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 11. It says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now he says, we're to do this, but you do it. And that's what I'm telling you guys. We're to do it, but you do it. Praise the Lord. Okay? And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So, yeah, sometimes the ones that's over you are going to say, look, why don't you knock it off and start doing right? And you're supposed to take it. Yeah. And that's what it's saying. And to esteem them very highly in love. Now, here's the reason: for the work's sake, for the ministry, you're to do that. Okay? And be at peace among yourself. Now, notice that. If you don't do this, you're not going to have peace with you, or there's not going to be peace in that church. There's guidelines. If them guidelines are not met, do you ever been in a church where it just seemed like there was no joy, there was no peace? Well, here's the reason why. People are not adhering and obeying what God says to do, and it's probably not coming from the pulpit, because he's the one that's supposed to be doing it, leading them, okay? And so, verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, when warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, that's when you help me, support the weak, and be patient toward the ones you get along with. All men. Yeah, but I don't like him. Sorry. God says get along with them. Now, there's people that just kind of get under your skin and rub you the wrong way, right? God says you'll get along with them. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And so then he says, and those are the things you are to do it for the work's sake, for the ministry. Not because they have some great personality, or because the pastor demands it. No. You're to do it because it's commanded. It makes the work go right, the ministry work right. And if it's not done that way, it's being hindered. What? The ministry. Okay? And so Paul said almost in every epistle that he wrote, brethren, pray for us. We need to pray for each other. And when you're praying for each other, you're helping yourselves and your own family. Now that's kind of weird, but that's a promise God gives. That when you pray for others, God blesses you for it. Now that's kind of a kick, isn't it? But I need to pray for myself. No, we need to pray for others more than we do ourselves. Praying for others, God will bless you. That's just the way he does it. And then, so in verse 13 there of Thessalonians, it's very highly, and be at peace among yourselves. So now if a church is not doing these things, but are trying to take control and deal with problems and do it themselves, then there'll be no peace. And once that thing is disrupted and men take control instead of allowing God to lead, there'll be no peace in the church. It's going to be upset. And it may take years for things to settle back down. And you go into a church and you don't know why, but there seems to be no peace, no joy. Somebody took matters in their own hands. And that thing is going on, still going on for years. Why? People don't trust each other. They probably have a good reason. So, anyway, that's kind of what I got for you today. There's not much. It's what God wants us to do. Again, we got go back to Hebrews there. And we're not only talking about the pastor, but we're talking about the leader of the church and how the rest of the people. And here's the thing. Everybody that God brings to a church has an ability to help that ministry. I don't know what it is. It may be prayer. It may be playing the piano. It may be changing the light bulbs. But every one of them things is just as responsible and just as important as being a pastor. I really mean that. People, yeah, God has given me the authority because I'm the pastor. But that doesn't mean it's any more important than anything else. Because you let a bathroom be a mess, or you take a bad piano player, which we don't have. We got a good one. I'm serious. You ever been to church and try to sing to somebody? Bless God, they were trying with all their heart, but man, it would have been easier to sing a cappella. That is important. Or go into a bathroom that's stinky. Yeah. I'm getting ready. I go to City Brew. Now, that's a coffee place. That's not a brewer. I go in there, and I like to read my Bible. I read, and I get a cup of coffee. But I go in their bathroom, and it's filthy. I went in there yesterday. I'm fed up. I'm going to tell them. Every time I come in here, it is filthy, and it stinks. I don't like it. If they don't do something about it, I'm going to quit going. I'll go down to Starbucks, I guess. I don't know. But these things are important, and so every member is important to this church, but we are to love each other, we're to pray for each other, and keep the unity of the church. Remember it says let brotherly love continue, ongoing thing all the time. Amen. Just a simple little message, but of how God expects things to go in his, because Paul talked, all his preaching and teaching is basically about the church of God, how important it is. It's important. And today, Satan has taken that thing and distorted it. People, they don't need to come to church. They, no. Well, God says it's important. It says Christ died and shed his blood for the church. It's important. So we as his people need to understand how important it is, because when we start messing up and goofing up, we are affecting his ministry, which is part of the whole ministry. Now, let me say this. We got the idea now that God does not want us to see his plan. And I hear young preachers all the time saying, man, I just don't know what God's plan is for me. I don't know for the church. And let me tell you what. And they act like God is hiding his plan from them. Do you ever hear anybody talk like that? God wants to reveal his plan to us. He wants us to see his overall view of what this church is supposed to be doing. And I was talking to Clinton about it. God has really dealt with me about this. Of as a pastor can have it, but if the people never get a view of the vision of what God wants this church to do, it's doomed. God, we need to understand that God wants to show us what his will is, what his plan is. God doesn't have a plan that's kept secret. He's always ready to reveal his plan, but he's only going to reveal it to his people that want to know and really want to be a part of it. So I kind of covet the church. Let's start playing. God, reveal to your church, to us as a body of believers, help everybody to get a vision of your plan. Not the preacher's plan, because we get that all the time. Preachers are good to come up with some idea and convince you that it's God's plan. And God's going, where'd that come from? Wasn't from me. But God wants to reveal his plan to us. And he will not do it to a church that that isn't loving each other and taking care of each other. For example, you go down to DeMichael's church, 1,200 people. There's unity there. There's love there. You can feel it. God has revealed to that church the plan, not only to the pastor, but to the church. And that's what every church needs to be thinking about. God, help us as your body see, get a vision of your plan to where we, and that includes the pastor, so we know which what you want us to do. And he doesn't want to hide that. He wants us to see that. Okay? He wants us to see his plan. He saved us to be a part of his plan. Not for our will working against his will, but our will working in conjunction with his will. See, we'll always have our own will, but the whole idea of God is to bring our will working in partnership with him. And you know, that's what it says over in 1 Corinthians, where it says let me read, I think it's chapter 5. We get the idea that God saved us to do this and to be part of his plan. Let me see, where's that at? Yeah, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for we are laborers together with God. See, we're not to be working against him. We're not to be working out on our own. We're to be working with him as a body of believers. For we are laborers together with God. This is verse 9. Ye are God's husband, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another man built thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so, but that thing, that's what he's talking about. We are workers together with God. He never wants you to get rid of your will. He doesn't want to destroy your will. But he wants your will brought in to work in contrast and in conjunction and under him. Your will, God wants you to have. Okay? That means we're not all different. We're just not automatons, you know, all the same. Because Jenny's going to have her character and her makeup, but her will, God controls it. And Clinton, he's got a different, Jim's got a different character, but it, all that will is under God, and so all these different characters working and together, that's what God, God accomplishes his work, his ministry. That our will would be working in conjunction with him. Not out here alone. And he doesn't want us, no, my will, I don't have a will. No, that makes us automatons. I think that's the right word. Okay. He wants us, each one of us, to be us. And it's okay to be us. As long as we're under him. Amen? And so, that's what God wants for us, church. He doesn't want somebody full of pride and arrogance to think that I can do it myself. No, you can't. You can't. Christianity is unity. Satanism is individuals. Amen? And when, it's a strange thing, when people are not in church, Christians are not in church, you know how one of the first things they feel? Estranged from the believers. Satan is moved them out to make them feel alone. We know that because Elijah, he said, I'm the only one loves you. God said, oh, get over it. I got 5,000 down here that loves me as much as you do. But that's what he does. When people are out of church, we don't even know what's happening, and all of a sudden we're over here by ourselves. We get alone. Christianity cannot thrive individually. It's not done that way. God didn't design it that way. We are weak, and we are to understand we're weak. And when we need help, we are not be afraid to call for somebody to, hey, I need prayer. I'm going through the... I told these guys here a couple weeks ago, man, I'll tell you what, I was under such pressure from Satan, I needed help. I did. And so, God, you want to be an individual? You're going against what? God wants you to be an individual under His will. He doesn't want you out here. Why does He call us like sheep? You get a stray sheep, and he's going to get chewed up and spit out by a wolf. That's exactly what happens to us. But in that congregation, there's protection. Praying for each other. God's hand watching over them. Amen? You can come up and let. You got a song for them? And let's have a little bit of time of prayer here. And folks, church is important. I know it's such a drag to get up when it's cold and in the middle of the week. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting to enjoy Sunday night and Wednesday night services because we all sit and talk and we pray. And Sunday night we'll sit back here and talk and fellowship. And I know some can't make it, and I understand that. But never count that a small thing, because that's a blessing. Amen? And so church, Christ died for it. It's important. You'll not survive your Christianity without church. Can't do it. Can't do it. Amen? So you got a song? Okay. Let's... What is it?
Page 326.
326?